Welcome back to the GCN Racing News Show. Coming up this week, Demi Vollering becomes the first woman ever to win two editions of the Tour de France Femme avec Zwift. But it wasn't all plain sailing. There were controversies. I'll be looking back at that race and the drama, as well as the Tour of Poland and a Vuelta a Burgos, where some of the big favourites of the Vuelta a España were honing their form. This week in the world of racing, we learn that Isaac Del Toro will be staying with UAE Team Emirates until at least the end of 2031. The Mexican renewed his contract with the team last week. It had been previously suggested that he and his agent were holding off until they found out whether the team were going to sign Paul Success. So perhaps this is a sign that the Frenchman is not on his way to UAE Team Emirates. We also learn that Gianni Moscon is back in trouble again. He was disqualified from the Vuelta a Burgos last week for improper conduct, inappropriate behaviour towards other riders. Along with being pulled out of the race, he also received his second yellow card of this season and was also docked 50 UCI points. Finally this week, we learn that Demi Vollering is the first rider to win the Tour de France Femme avec Zwift twice. And she absolutely deserved it. She was, overall, the strongest rider in the race. But at times, it felt like she didn't make it easy on herself. Initially, she'd been playing second fiddle to Marlon Reusser, who lived up to her billing as favourite for the individual time trial. Lieke Nooyen put in the ride of her life that day to finish second, whilst Vollering was third, conceding 18 seconds to her rival. Nuvia Domer, meanwhile, also put in one of the best time trials of her life, finishing 13th on the day at 1:09. It was on that day that we also had the first signs that Pauline Ferrand-Prévot was not on the same form she'd had 12 months previously. That was confirmed the following day on stage 5. More on that later on in the show. It was on that stage, though, where we saw the three strongest riders in the race emerge. Vollering put in a number of searing attacks on the last big climb of the day, and only Reusser and Nuvia Domer were able to go with her. Nuvia Domer put in a really well-timed attack in the finishing straight, but whilst Vollering initially hesitated, she kicked for the line early enough to not only bring Nuvia Domer back, but also keep Reusser behind her to take her first stage win of the week. Kim Lecourt-Pinard of AG Insurance took a very impressive win the following day into Tournon-sur-Rhône from the breakaway that day, but the stage everyone was looking forward to was Mont Ventoux, which came on Friday. Again, the strongest three riders of the race came to the fore there, but it was as though Vollering and Reusser didn't really think that Nuvia Domer was a threat for the race. She attacked with almost 10Ks of Mont Ventoux still to go, and the other two spent most of the rest of the climb arguing without words about who should be doing the work to limit or reduce the gap. Now, we should take nothing away from what Nuvia Domer did that day. She produced what many think is the best ever climbing performance for a female pro that day, averaging close to 5.5 watts per kilo for the climb. However, that's not to say that Reusser, and particularly Vollering, couldn't have gone quicker up there. And the fact that Vollering took half a minute out of Nuvia Domer in the final kilometre kind of proved that point. But at the time, it was too little too late. Vollering did leapfrog Reusser in the GC, but remained in second overall, 15 seconds behind Nuvia Domer. For the Polish rider, it was actually her first ever stage win at the Tour de France, despite being an overall winner in the past. And not only was it her first stage win in the Tour de France, it was her first stage win in any race for 7 years, as Killian Kelly pointed out on X. An incredible stat, really, for a rider of her quality. Anyway, it meant there was a lot still to play for over the final two stages of the race. Now, Saturday's stage into Nice looked like it had the potential to be a reduced sprint, but FDJ Suez had different ideas. They had a clear plan, one that we saw unfold on the day and then learnt more about in the hours after the finish. And this is where the controversy came. Going into the last climb, a short but very steep one, FDJ was setting up Vollering for an attack. Célia Jarry did the last part of that job, but just as she'd finished her job and Vollering hit the front, she then surged again to the left-hand bend, going back in front of Nuvia Domer. Now, we didn't actually see that at the time because of the shots that the TV director had chosen to focus on at that point, but it turned out that Jarry had performed a manoeuvre that Nuvia Domer was particularly unhappy with, to the point where she went to confront Jarry immediately after the stage finished whilst the French champion was being interviewed by journalists. "Why did you block me?" was the gist of it. Jarry didn't respond verbally, but just smiled back and then rode off. Now, eventually, we did get to see some footage of the incident, both from the race camera and from fans who were on the side of the road. In it, it was clear that Giroud wanted to be on Vollering's wheel in order to then let that wheel go out of the corner, creating a gap that Nuvia Doma would then have to close herself. And this was effectively confirmed in an interview with FDJ DS Lars Boom, who said that that was indeed the tactic for the day. And it is a legitimate tactic, one which happens all the time in professional cycling. It is your right to be on the wheel of your teammate. It's also your right to let that wheel go if you choose. However, what is not allowed is to deliberately block or impede another rider. Did Giroud do that? Well, the footage doesn't make that completely clear, but from what we can see, it does look like Giroud moved to the right to deliberately make it hard for Nuvia Doma to ride her own pace, effectively hemming her in by the curb. Did it make a difference? Well, not a huge one, no. But given that Nuvia Doma was eventually distanced by Vollering, just 40 metres or so from the top of the climb, it could have been the difference between her staying on Vollering's wheel and getting dropped. That was an extra effort that the Polish rider had to make right at the start of that steep climb. Now, ultimately, we will never know whether it made the difference or not. And even if it was decided that it was, the sanction would be for Giroud, not for Vollering. And so we wouldn't have made a difference to the outcome of the stage anyway. Vollering took the stage win that day, and despite a lot of help from Longo Borghini behind, Nuvia Doma lost enough time to concede the yellow jersey to her rival. Now, once the dust had settled the following morning, Nuvia Doma went to the FDJ Suez team to apologise for what she'd said the previous day, whilst Vollering said it was a racing incident. Vollering also said that she hadn't forgotten what Nuvia Doma had done to her in 2024 when she crashed at that race, which was a strange one. Back then, Vollering crashed because of her own teammate, Larina Vibes. Vibes didn't then wait, nor did any of the rest of the SD Works team, including eventual stage winner Blanca Vash. Chloe Dygert rode flat out for Nuvia Doma, and the gap they put into Vollering on that day was in the end what made the difference for Nuvia Doma to win the overall classification atop Alpe d'Huez on the final day of racing. Now, the two incidents are not comparable, and it did seem strange that Vollering brought it up in the first place yesterday. Anyway, you can see why Vollering wanted to make a statement on the final stage of the race. She clearly didn't want an overall win to be seen as down to dirty tactics. Canyon Strand threw everything at making the race hard, but when Nuvia Doma attacked off the back of a final lead out from Niedermayer, Vollering followed and then eventually attacked herself over the top and went solo. And from there to the finish in Nice, she increased her advantage, whilst Nuvia Doma was caught by the chasing group behind. So the Dutch woman cruised her third stage win in the race and her second overall victory. And you've got to say, she thoroughly deserves it. She's been the woman to beat in stage racing for quite some time at this point, and it feels like she probably should have won this race more times than she already has. So this, I would say, is her reward for a lot of hard work and an equal amount of determination. I mean, I know all pro cyclists are determined. You don't get to that level of the sport without that quality. But Vollering always seems like she's next level on that front, to me at least. She's a real fighter all of the time. Second overall in the end went to Nuvia Doma, but the gap was a minute and 18. So I don't think there'll be many sort of what-ifs from her or from her team. She rode a cracking race, you've got to say, and once again proved that she's a rider for the big occasions. Now, one of the most remarkable things about Vollering and Nuvia Doma is just how consistent they've been at this particular race. Since it started in 2022, neither of them has ever finished worse than third. So there's never been a Tour de France femme avec Zwift in which they haven't both been on the final podium. And in a sport like cycling, where so much can happen, that is pretty crazy. So only five other riders have ever been on the podium of the race. Elisa Longo Borghini this year, Pauline Ferrand-Prévot, Paulina Rooyakkers, Lotte Kopecky and Annemiek van Vleuten. Behind those two, it wasn't Reusser in third overall in the end. She fell 11 places to 14th on GC on the final day. So she was dropped early on the stage through the pace being set by Zoe Bagstedt of Canyon, and subsequently she crashed on a descent. And it was such a disappointing way to end a very strong race for her. She has previously finished second overall in the Giro d'Italia and the Vuelta a España, but she's never been on the podium at the Tour de France, so that would have meant a lot. Instead then, third place overall went to Elisa Longo Borghini, and although I'm disappointed for Reusser, I'm equally pleased for the Italian champion. She's never quite been on her best form at the Tour de France Femme in the past, but she was really solid this year throughout. She too actually had to deal with some controversies, namely the drama around teammate Paola Blassi from the start of the race, and she actually gave an emotional interview midway through the Tour de France regarding that whole episode. The rest of the top 10 then looked like this. Canyon Sram also got fourth actually on GC with Niedermayer, who also won the best young riders classification. Second in that and fifth overall was Blassie herself. Cabal did a great race herself and finished sixth overall. Vlodicic seventh, Holmgren eighth, and then Lecourt Pinard and Fisher Black rounding out the top 10. Lorena Vibes took the points jersey, put Peter the QOM and UAE the teams. So what happened to Pauline Ferrand-Prevot then? Well, the day after that time trial, she came unstuck on a climb, and that really was the end of her title defence. After that stage, she actually claimed she'd done her best ever 10-minute power, but still got dropped. Personally, I find that quite hard to believe. The standard may have gone up, but not by that much in the space of 12 months. So maybe the power meter was reading incorrectly. Anyway, after losing a chunk more time on Mont Ventoux, she didn't start the following stage because of illness. And actually, she took to Instagram today to thank everyone for their support during the race. I'm sure she'll be back as strong as ever. It was a shame for the race, though, I've got to say, that she wasn't at her best. But we still had an incredibly entertaining 9 days of racing. Had everything you wanted, really. Uncertainty to the very last, attacking racing, and some drama to boot. I thought it was great. Anyway, let me know your thoughts on the race as a whole, but also about that controversial incident. Do you think it's a part of racing and a legitimate tactic that's been used for decades, or do you think that sort of thing has no place in the modern era of cycling? You can let me know in the comment section just down below. Right, just before I move on to other races, a reminder that we still have all of our Grand Tour merchandise for sale over at shop.globalcyclingnetwork.com. You can get there by scanning the QR code that should be on screen now. Plus, the Leaders t-shirt that I'm wearing on the show today is also now available in a women's specific cut. That was after feedback that we received from you guys. And with the final Grand Tour of the season now just around the corner, we've got a brand new print, the latest of our print collection. Thanks very much to everyone who sent in a picture of their pain cave, incidentally, or just their home with those on the wall. If you'd like to send yours in, just head to globalcyclingnetwork.com/uploader. Now, with the Vuelta a España coming up at a rate of knots, we'll have our big preview show coming out for you at the end of this week. So stay tuned to GCN Racing for that. Okay, I shall move on to other races now and start with the Vuelta a Burgos. Traditionally, the final warm-up race for La Vuelta. This year, the race attracted the likes of Giro podium finisher Felix Gall, plus Onley, Mas, Pellizzari and Ciccone, amongst others. And it was those names who fought it out for the overall victory and many of the stages. Before all of that, though, there was an opening uphill sprint of sorts on the first stage into Burgos, which marked the return of Matt Brennan to winning ways. He has been a little quiet of late, at least by his own high standards, but he ended the 5 days with two wins to his name, winning the sprint in Dobrivieska. Brennan is coming into his best form, it seems, just at the right time. He'll be making his Grand Tour debut for Visma Lisa Bike at the Vuelta starting a week on Saturday in Monaco. And it feels like he's been around a long time already, doesn't it? But he actually only turned 21 just under a week ago. The other person to take two stage wins at the race last week was Felix Gall of Decathlon. He won stage three by 11 seconds over Ciccone and Pellizzari, having attacked Onley with a little under 5Ks to go. And that was enough to vault him 9 places on GC and into the race lead, which he and his team successfully defended on the final stage. It was Onley who'd conceded the race lead that day. He'd taken the jersey the previous stage, outsprinted Ciccone to take his first win since signing for Net Company Ineos at the start of the year. The fifth and final stage was won by Pellizzari of Red Bull Bora Hansgrohe. Behind him, Gall was glued to Onley's wheel, but with Ciccone distanced by a couple of seconds, Onley moved back into second on GC. Felix Gall looked great though, I've got to say. He actually doubled his pro wins at the race from 2 to 4, and he'll go to La Vuelta as one of the main challengers to Tadej Pogacar. If Pogacar is anywhere near his best though, it's probably not going to be a huge challenge, but he'll be one of the top favourites for the remaining steps of the podium. Incidentally, actually, if you'd like to see some GCN content with Felix Gall, our German channel, GCN Auf Deutsch, actually got to ride with him recently during the Decathlon training camp at Altitude. We'll put a link to that video in the description below this one. Oscar Onley actually will be another of the top favourites of La Vuelta. He's had a tough year, as most of you know. Physically, he should be fresher than most of his rivals. That's assuming he's doing La Vuelta actually, because he's not been confirmed just yet. Meanwhile, over in the Tour of Poland, Marco Brenner took the biggest win of his career so far. So Brenner is actually in his 6th year as a pro rider, but he's still only 23 years of age. He turned pro straight out of the junior ranks with Team DSM, but now rides for Tudor Pro Cycling. His win came about through some very consistent riding over the last 4 stages. 4th, 2nd and 3rd in the final 3 road stages, and then 7th in the individual time trial that ended the race yesterday. And that was enough to move him from fourth to first overall. He became the first German rider to win a World Tour level stage race since Max Schachmann back in 2021, and the first non-World Tour rider to win a World Tour race since Lennart van Eetvoort won the UAE Tour back in 2024. So well done to Margot Brenner and to Tudor Pro Cycling. Back to the time trial though, and actually none of the riders in the top three of GC going into that time trial managed to stay on the final podium. Visma Lisa Bikes pairing of Barre and Lemon both fell two places to fourth and fifth respectively. They'd both won stages during the week, so it must have been very disappointing to fall off the final podium on the final day. Not as disappointing though as it was for the man who was leading overall. Christian Scaroni had the time trial from hell and slipped six places down to seventh overall. It was a fantastic day for Tudor though, who also won that stage with Stefan Kung. He beat the Red Bull duo of Fisher Black and Thornley to take his first win for Tudor Pro Cycling, and actually his first win in close to 2 years. And he must have worked incredibly hard for that too. He had a really nasty injury at the start of this season where he broke his femur, which meant he missed all of the Spring Classics in 2026. Jan Christen won stage 5, whilst the first three stages were all won in sprints by Jonathan Milan of Lidl Trek. That wasn't enough for him to win the points jersey though, because Brenner also managed to take that. The race had been affected by a major crash in the peloton during a wet stage 4. Such was the size of it, the race was actually neutralised for 40 minutes. Amongst the many affected was João Almeida, who didn't start the following day. He's also having a season to forget about at this point, but here's hoping he's okay for La Vuelta. Time to move on to some rider transfers now, and probably the biggest one announced in the last 7 days was that of Valentin Madouas moving to Cofidis. So the 30-year-old turned pro of Groupama FDJ all the way back in 2018, and he's been with that same team ever since, but he's going to be with Cofidis until at least the end of 2028. The other big move is that of Tim Thorne Teutenberg, who's going to move to Soudal Safety Jogger, as they'll be known next season, after spending his first three professional years with Lidl Trek. It's been a lot quieter actually than I was expecting on the transfer front so far this year, but I'm sure there will be plenty of announcements over the coming weeks. Okay, in other news, the Flanders Baloise team will cease operations at the end of this season, and I was absolutely gutted to hear this news. This team has been a mainstay of sort of second division cycling for such a long time, since 2003 in fact, and has developed a lot of riders over the course of that time. Amongst them, Thomas de Gendt, Campenaerts, De Volder, Naarsen, Van Marker, Lampaert, Bakkelandt, and many, many more. The team's always been funded by the Flemish government, but they're pulling their funding from the end of this year, and unfortunately, the team was unable to find another sponsor to fill that financial gap. Which is a real shame. They're always a solid team, and we've witnessed that this year actually with Tom Kraber taking 5 really big wins for that squad. Right, that brings us to the end of another GCN Racing News show. Thanks as ever for watching. Next week is going to be Conor Dunn talking you through the Sea Classics Hamburg, the Czech Tour, and the Arctic Race of Norway. I'm going to be back in 3 weeks' time, so I shall see you then.